foot. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And this is the night before Thanksgiving. I'm here with Tommaso Vincenzo, Giuseppe Bonvissuto, Bon Bon for short.
Yes, good evening. It's good to be here, Drew.
It's good to have you here, sir, and I hope you're all prepared for Thanksgiving. I'm sure you're cooking. No.
No, my wife did some cooking, and we're traveling. So.
You're traveling? Yep. Where are you going to travel to?
Pennsylvania Turnpike, out to Pittsburgh.
Out to Pittsburgh. My family's origins are in Pittsburgh, you know?
Yep.
So it's a great city, and I hope your mother-in-law's doing well now,
yep,
right? She had a little scare there for...
we're hoping to bring her back with us, so...
Oh, that's cool.
It'll be exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
We have a guest tonight.
We do. We have a friend of mine, and it's a great honor to have Matt Stevens with us. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and then Matt's from Somebody Cares Baltimore, and I've been involved with the organization, and I've been friends with Matt. And let me tell you a little bit about his bio. I actually just pulled up his website. I'm a web guy. I know he's a Facebook guy, but I'm a web guy. And it says, Matt and his wife, Katie, founded Somebody Cares Baltimore in the spring of 2009. And he serves as the president, a position which he couples his passions for connecting people and leading in the Baltimore region. Matt's focus is on Somebody Cares Baltimore through connecting agencies, churches, organizations together to collaborate and revitalize communities. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Church Business Administration, certified in organizational strategic planning, facilitation, licensed and ordained minister, and he holds a certificate from the Foundation of School of Ministry. Enjoys fishing, spending time with his family and his two dogs.
I enjoy fishing too.
Yeah.
So we could do that together,
well,
Matt.
Talk about fishing. Yeah.
And so the reason we have Matt tonight is because it's the night before Thanksgiving, and we're talking about that Thanksgiving message. And Thanksgiving is not just about getting together with family and friends and enjoying some turkey and so forth. It's the true concept of Thanksgiving, you know. And Matt, your organization is truly one that doesn't only talk about Thanksgiving, you walk it.
We do. We do. You know, we tend to work mostly with Christians and believers, and our goal is to connect, mobilize, and unify the church all around Baltimore City and the surrounding counties. And so what happens is we find out that includes a number of things. We mobilize prayer opportunities and what I would call giving opportunities. It's all based on generosity for people that have been blessed. They know they've been blessed, and they want to cause what we call a chain reaction of the same. So in other words, when we know deep inside our hearts have been changed and we've been blessed, we want to do that to the next person, and of course that goes on and on and on. Even beyond the pay it forward, it's a chain reaction. And we believe that has the power to change any environment, whether that environment is a institution like a school or a workplace, a business place, or our communities. When we operate out of that gratefulness of heart, then that just causes the same thing to happen over and over and over again. So I'm grateful for Thanksgiving coming up. And I'm hoping every day can be Thanksgiving, not only because I like to eat, but also because of the generosity that comes out of that.
You know, if you really sit back and think about your life, and no matter, you know, I believe in hard work and that there's consequences that, you know, the good consequences that come about from hard work.
Yep.
I'm a hard worker. But if I really examine my life, I have to realize that there are amazing amount of circumstances that had to take place that allowed my hard work to actually benefit me in any way, shape, or form. But if it weren't for those circumstances that I had no control of, my hard work could be worthless.
Right.
And so that's what gratitude is all about, is humbleness, realizing that, yeah, I work hard, but it's really a lot of circumstances came together to allow any success in life to come forth. I don't care who you are.
That's right. That's right. And we live in a nation where we should be so thankful so often. We have our issues, we have our challenges, but if anybody's traveled the world, they know there are other places where it's so unfortunate what people are going through. But it's interesting when they go to those other places and they come back. They say the native, the indigenous people of those nations where maybe a developing third world or recently, and we'll talk in a little bit about, I was in Puerto Rico, even what they're going through, they tend to be happier and more content because of they see maybe a little bit more raw. It's not just themselves that got them to where they are, but they recognize a God who loves them, and they recognize the power of those people around them that play into this whole thing of why we can live and exist and have our being.
Yeah. You know, my family's Italian. I'm 100% Italian, and, you know, if I went back to Italy, there's a good probability that my family wouldn't have been as successful if my grandparents hadn't come here.
Right.
And so, you know, and that's Italy. That's a developed nation in the world. But you look at what's going on there, and people are struggling there. Yes. It doesn't mean they're overtly poor, but they're certainly not wealthy in any way, shape, or form unless they're one of the elite of the country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's very common. And so, you know, we want to hear more about what Somebody Care does. And, you know, like you just kind of gave us a prelude into that you've been to Houston right after it happened.
Yep.
You then took off to Puerto Rico
after
that happened.
That's right.
And so you've been feet on the ground in these areas and seen what happened and providing that concept of, you know, hey, I know you're hurting, but somebody cares.
But somebody cares.
that's right.
And that's really what life is all about. You don't enjoy life until you realize that when you care about somebody else, that's really what brings forth the true joy of life.
That's right.
Somebody cares.
Somebody does care.
You know? And I think what you're doing is great, but right now we have to take pause, and then we're going to find out more about Somebody Cares and what people should be thinking about as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday. So hold up with us right here, Matt. We're going to be right back after this pause. We'll be back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical, or go online to drewtigg.com. That's drewtigg.com. The Doors. That was a good guess, though, wasn't it?
Matt's a musician. Maybe he can help us.
Matt, who's this?
I mean, musician, but then, you know, I was born.
All right, Chris.
A little.
Zombies? Who the heck are the zombies?
poor Chris.
You gotta be kidding. Who wants a zombie anyway? You know, zombies are spooky, you know? That's why I eat garlic. Don't you realize that? I love garlic. Zombies too, man, you know? Anyway, we're here with Matt Stevens, Somebody Cares Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
This is our Thanksgiving show, and
that's the reason
we do our Thanksgiving show is because we want to communicate the message on a financial show that the charitably minded people are the wealthiest people. And when I say the word wealthiest, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the richest people, because the word wealth means complete contentment and satisfaction with what I have. Mm-hmm. Whether I have a little or a lot, it's the old concept of the Jewish people going out into the desert and collecting the manna, and whether one collected a lot or a little, it was perfect for the family, and they were totally content and satisfied. That's the word and what wealth means, and charitably minded people are the wealthiest. You know, Warren Buffett is extremely charitably minded, and you can see the guy has a certain peace about him. Bill Gates is incredibly charitably minded. He has a peace about him. Now, he's extremely rich, too, at the same time.
Right.
But I know a lot of rich people, like Donald Trump. I don't see him as a content and happy guy, you know?
Right.
Yet he has a lot of money, you know?
Yep.
And I hear he can be very charitable occasionally, but you know, I think there's differences. Howard Hughes was the richest man in the world, but he was incredibly depressed. You know, and he wasn't very charitably minded, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So the question is, Matt, tell us a little bit of the history of Somebody Cares, you know, how you got involved and why we have a Somebody Cares here in Baltimore. That implies that maybe there's Somebody Cares somewhere else, and how you guys got here, what's all about.
Sure. Well, thank you again, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. So you can see our history. It's on the website at somebodycaresbaltimore.org. But I'll let you know, in 1980-something or another, the founder of Somebody Cares was Dr. Doug Stringer, and he was in Houston, Texas, a business owner at the time. He owned a number of physical fitness centers, and somebody had shared the hope of Christ with him. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he wanted to give back immediately. That was his experience. So they would go down to what they called the Strip in Houston, Texas, and this was during the AIDS, when the AIDS epidemic was at its height. And they would go down and they would pray with and help meet some of the needs of some of the kids, those that were being trafficked, those were into drugs, just help meet some of the needs, care for them. And he would take his business card, and back then it wasn't a cell phone, it was a beeper number. He would turn his business card over and just write Somebody Cares and then put his beeper number and begin to hand that out. Well, that turned into a global movement. And now, as a result of that, there are over 28 chapters of Somebody Cares in America. There's others overseas as well. And in 2009, I had met Dr. Stringer in 2002, and he was just one of these guys that began to articulate some things that had been on my heart. And so we built a relationship. I was traveling the country at the time, doing missions weeks with youth and young families. Here in the United States, they were urban, kind of short-term urban mission weeks. And the Lord really began to put on our heart the place where me and my family lived, right here in Baltimore. So we began praying. We talked with Dr. Stringer, and we started. And one of the things that we saw so many good things happening in Baltimore, so many things that people were doing, but they really weren't, there wasn't a great connectivity to it. When it came to like concerted times of prayer together or concerted times of acts of compassion, doing things out in the community. So we prayed about it. We founded Somebody Cares Baltimore, and we brought that here. We began working with a number of churches. Now we're over 400 churches kind of that we have relationship with, and it's very relational. It's a relational infrastructure. And some of the things that we've worked with over the years was back in 2010 and 2011, there was a large, in Baltimore City and the surrounding counties, it started in Mountain Christian Church up in Harford County. It was a thing called Surf Fest. And the idea was everybody's going to go out in the spring, do some spring cleaning, serve their communities. Churches would do activities. And what would happen if we all came together on the same day and we went and did some of the same projects together, and we all wore a T-shirt that said Surf Fest on it, so people were excited. And what that became was over 4,500 volunteers in over 290 projects all around, you know, service projects like cleanup and beautification and providing different things for the vulnerable population of senior citizens, at-risk youth, and the homeless community. And it was really very, very powerful, and that happened for a couple of years. One of the other things that we did as Somebody Cares is we worked with a unique relationship that we have with the Baltimore City Police Department. And a big Thanksgiving shout out to Chief Melvin Russell and the Community Collaboration Division. At that time, we were in the Eastern District. And we began to just really go and pray with them as police officers. And that turned into kind of a strategy of prayer walking, and then acts of compassion, serving, almost saturating a community with prayer and acts of compassion. But it wasn't just outsiders coming in. It was local churches in East Baltimore. It was the police department was doing it with us. And also community leaders were coming out and doing it with us. And they actually, you know, right now, unfortunately, one of the things we're not thankful for is the violence that we have in our city. And everybody's aware of that. And even as we take a break right now, you know, from life and spend the day thanking the Lord tomorrow, keeping in mind and in heart the families, the over 310 families here in Baltimore City that have lost somebody to homicide this year. Well, this little district was a very violent district. As a matter of fact, it was historic high in 2007 in that little district of only 40, 45,000 people. It was 70 homicides. And so we began to come together, and we just believed if we would saturate together, so it wasn't about just silos or people just doing what they do, but us having a stronger sense of doing things together with the churches, with the police, and with the community, that it would make an impact on that community itself. And not only did it make an impact, but within 3 years, the homicide dropped down to 23, which was the lowest on record since they've been keeping record for that district. 23 too many, but still a significant drop. We saw it was a food desert. You saw grocery stores that came back in because it was safer. You saw housing begin to happen at a greater level, renewed housing, getting rid of the vacants, all the things, the issues that we still face in other parts of the city now. And you just saw a great movement happen. Since then, we've stayed engaged with the police department, and we've helped to develop in a partnership. We've had 5 graduating classes of chaplains. And so there are clergy that are being trained to do ride-alongs with officers, be available to officers, and then also are trained in trauma so that when the community goes through some kind of trauma, we as clergy and as volunteers that come through the local churches
You just recently went down when that detective was shot. You were there.
Correct. A week ago tonight. As a matter of fact, right now, we got the call that Detective Sean Suter had been shot, and so I was in the hospital at Shock Trauma with them, with some of the city officials, and a lot of hurting. You know, a lot of these, we've stayed connected with the police department, so a lot of these who were young officers back in 2008 are now in ranks. They're lieutenants and sergeants, and we've been 24/7 with the chaplaincy with the police department since this took place. We've made them available. You know, a lot of times police get bad raps for not being empathetic or not being soft or whatever, and in a situation like this, the only thing that makes us stronger is coming together. So,
and this is just some of the things you're doing. You know, I mean, we're gonna, you know, when we get into the second half of the hour, we're gonna be able to talk about a lot of the other things you're doing. But the whole concept of this Thanksgiving show, Thomas, is to talk about, you know, it, you know, to think that you deserve what you have is absolutely wrong if you really think about the circumstances of your life.
Right. Yep.
And when you put that together, it humbles you and it helps you to be charitably minded. And there is a power in being charitably minded. Mm-hmm. And we're not here, Matt's not going to sit here and say that we want people to donate to Somebody Cares, but if somebody wants to, that's great.
We'll
we just
him.
Want you to be charitably minded,
yes,
period.
Yeah,
you know, if you see a guy on the street, you know, just because he's homeless, don't assume that it's his fault that he's there.
Right.
You know,
right.
I never allow a homeless person comes up to me and asks me for money. I will give him something because the chances of him coming and connecting with me, looking me in the eyes and asking me for something, I believe is no coincidence, and I'm not going to take the chance that guy
is
from the Lord, and he's testing Drew to see if he cares more about his money than that guy, and he's going to judge him for why he is who he is.
Right.
And so, you know, is charitably minded. That's what we want to be. And anyway, I got to take a pause. We're going to come back, talk more on our Thanksgiving show. Take it away, traffic.
75% of adults agree they could benefit from advice and answers to everyday financial questions from a professional. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consult. We strive to serve as a leader in educating the public on personal finance topics through our Financial Pulse and Consulate Journal. For these publications and learn about our personal financial management services, visit our website at drewtig.com, and follow us on Twitter at the FinCon for educational updates.
James Taylor.
JT.
See that? You didn't think I knew anything about music, did you? actually, he does the ending song for us too, right?
That's right.
James Taylor. Yeah. So anyway, don't ask me what the title is, but I got the artist. So It's batting 500 right now, Chris, you know?
That's pretty good.
Well, 500 on that song.
That's right.
You know, 500 out of the two songs, actually. There's two things going for me. Anyway, we're here with Matt Stevens, Somebody Cares Baltimore. And, you know, we're talking about being charitably minded and so forth. So if somebody wants to either participate or contribute to Somebody Cares, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. We have plenty of opportunities to contribute by serving. And you can find out about those if you go to Facebook.com / Somebody Cares Baltimore. Just search it anywhere on Facebook if you have Facebook. And you'll see some of the most current, not only things that we have done, but the upcoming things that we have coming. And then also SomebodyCaresBaltimore.org. And there are big old fat donate buttons on there, and it kind of walks you through the whole process, whether it's on the website, we have a secured giving site, or through Facebook, we partner with Network for Good, and they handle all the financial contribution and path for that as well. But we do, you know, it's financial giving, but we also, we live in a generation that folks, they like to give financially, but they also like to serve, find different ways that, and that's what Somebody Cares tries to do, is we try to create on-ramps for people to serve. So, for instance, coming up in December on the 16th and then on the 17th, we'll be serving over 300 homeless of the homeless community in Baltimore. We call that Code Blue Christmas. And there are churches, I don't know if anybody knows this, but there are churches every week that go down to the drop-in shelter on Falls Way in the city, and they provide church services for those folks who want Sunday morning church service. And so we partner with them, and we've asked our national partners, Mercy Chefs, who do relief feeding for crisis relief, and they've been here a few times, and they'll come in and cook. These are professional chefs that are so grateful for what they have and where they are that they donate their time, and they come and prepare a meal. They pull in a huge trailer, a big 300-square-foot kitchen, full production kitchen, and they serve, they provide the meals, and then us who are volunteers get to serve the meals and spend time with the homeless community there as well.
You know, I was on the board of directors, Matt, of the Gospel Rescue Mission in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
And so when I was on that, you know, there were about 200 homeless people that would come and stay the night, but there was about a team of about, I think they did about 50 a year,
right,
that they would mentor and keep in the shelter for, like, I think it was like 2 months. And they would disciple them, help them get clean, and,
yep,
and go back and find a job and so
right
forth. And so during that two-year period that I was on the board of directors, I met these gentlemen. And, you know, it was incredibly humbling when you'd meet somebody that literally had nothing, but they were far happier
right
than I could ever dream
right
somebody could be.
Because they didn't have all the pressure, the bills, and the other pressures that come on sometimes when you have so many, you know.
I remember, yeah, and I
caught up.
One guy, you know, comes to mind right now is his name was Jimmy, and Jimmy was a heroin addict. He had HIV. He was really a mess when he came in, but you know what happened is he was he got somehow or another God cured him of heroin addiction. Now that's
awesome.
That's got to be a move of God when somebody gets off of heroin, because
right
that's tough. But he was still dying of HIV, and
yeah
he watched a movie of Africa where people were being prayed for in Africa, and they were being healed.
Hmm.
And he's watching this movie, and he thinks to himself, well, Lord, you can heal me, too, of
right
HIV. I never asked you, and I,
right,
I want to be. And next thing you know, within about 2 months, he went to the doctors, and they said, there's not a single HIV in your body
wow
anymore.
Hmm.
And Jimmy was just the happiest person
that's so cool
in the entire world, and he was totally broke, but he was about the most wonderful
right
person you'd
yeah
ever want to meet.
Well, you know, you got Jimmy, I got a Timmy.
Yeah,
kind of
I was thinking of Tim. I was thinking
yeah
of Tim.
Tim.
Yeah.
Who here in Baltimore, and he was at a local mission. They came in, they took him off the streets, and he too was hooked on drugs, some other things that were in his life. He went through the mission. He began to get well, and he worked his way up. The mission actually hired him to do some things. And I think he was working in the kitchen and food service. And he got as far as he could go. And one of the leaders came to him one day and said, Timmy, man, you've come so far. There's nowhere else for you to go here. You're going to have to get out and get a job, and you're going to have to keep growing and moving. And long story short, he and his wife, Anna, came and 1 year to our Code Blue that happens because we do it annually, this holiday party for the homeless. And they came and they were serving, and we got to meet them. And they began to, and they're from York, Pennsylvania also. And we began to hear their story about what had happened. And Timmy stood in the corner and cried. I just remember that. And we said, 3 years ago, I was the person sitting at this table, you know, and here they are now. They're married. They have two beautiful children. He works for like this, I think it's like Davy Tree or some company, and they're doing really well. Homeowners, you know, just living, growing, prospering. But, you know, because they went through that situation, now they are just beelining. Every time there's an opportunity to serve or to give, you find them there in these powerful situations.
You know, our mission statement, Tom, says that it's helping people lessen the worry and burden of money management so they can focus on the real power of life, relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's getting to know people like Timmy and Jimmy and people like Matt and Tom and you know, and so forth. It doesn't matter what status of life they're in.
Yeah.
It's just developing that relationship.
Yes.
Is makes your life so much richer than money can ever make it.
Right.
You know, money can make you feel like you've got a ton of friends.
Right.
But, you know, if you're not connecting with them in a deeper level, you're the poorest person on earth.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Drew, if I can, there, you know, recently our nation has been through some, I mean, we've been through a lot the last 90 days. You know, we've seen tragedies, disasters, crisis happen. We were working in the city in August doing some things with the police officers in the communities when Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, Texas, rolled in through just north of Corpus Christi, went all the way up, hit Houston, Texas, over into East Texas with Beaumont. Right after that, Florida begins. Irma comes across. Maria comes across, hit Puerto Rico. The fires happen out in California. And, you know, what happens at large sometimes is that people get into a what we call compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. Like they saw it happen at Harvey, and I mean in just a couple weeks things got radically turned around quickly because people came in from other states. People donated generously. Our organization, our national headquarters are in Houston. And we had staff members that had to be evacuated, lost a vehicle. Meanwhile, we were organizing warehouses and points of distribution for goods and all kinds of things all over. But then, you know, we're at a place now where folks are sharing with us, we're just kind of wore out, or we've given and we've given and we've given. And I would just say, I hope that in this next day, as we get together with our families and the people we're around, that depth of gratitude that causes us to reach out to serve somebody else might emerge again.
Yeah, and let somebody else know that somebody cares.
Somebody cares.
Right?
That's exactly right.
We got to take another pause, and we're going to be back for the last part of the show. But right now, we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to learn more, or go online at drewtig.com, that's drewtig.com.
Sadie, I'm going to be
2 for 3 today. Well, no, I'm not. I know this.
So different and so new, was like any other.
Frankie Avalon.
Benny King.
Who?
No. No.
Ray Orbison.
The Drifters.
Frank Sinatra. Way to go, Chris. You know, here I could have been 2 for 3. If you would have played Red Rubber Ball, I would have known the answer. And here you just trying to make me look funny on the air. That's okay.
Yes, it was.
I've never even heard of the band. That's true. Anyway. We're back again with Matt Stevens, and
yes,
that's the important part of the show. Matt's with Somebody Cares Baltimore. And, you know, one of the beauties of your organization, somebody who wants this is listening and says, you know, I do want to do something charitable during the holiday season. You know, we do a lot of money. We buy gifts for the kids, but I'd like to do something in charity. And, you know, my family, we tried to teach our children and grandchildren be charitably minded.
That's
and
right.
We've done things where we said, okay, there we've got the family's got this much money, and the family's got to allocate it to charities, and you get to tell me how we're going to do that and what we're going to do, and you're going to have to personally be involved to do it, you know? So,
that's great.
And so, you know, one of the beauties of Somebody Cares, if somebody wants to contribute, is you're a small enough organization that you can not only give the money, you can see and feel the impact of the
That's
money.
Right.
You can't do that with the American Cancer Society.
Right.
You can't do that with United
right,
Way.
Right, right.
But with Somebody Cares, you can give the money to Somebody Cares and then work with Matt and
yep.
see exactly what it does.
Absolutely. We are out on the streets walking, prayer walking. We're in places, whether it's with homeless communities, senior citizens, at-risk youth. We're there all the time, so there's opportunities. And what's even greater, we don't go in and try to create the program and do it. Our role is to connect people to what's out there that's doing really well. So in other words, I could do okay. I've been in youth ministry since I was 15. I could do okay leading some people to reach kids. But there are people who do kids day in, day out, and I can connect you with them. The same with, you know, senior citizens or mothers and single moms, and I mean the whole thing. We have a network. We call it the net that works.
Mm-hmm.
It's the net that works, and we work together. And you know, when people do, I will say, when people do give financially, we keep our back end or our administration as low as possible. We don't, you know, nobody's taking salaries. We're doing this very part time. We have some staff that balloons in the summertime because that's just the time that we do a lot of our activity. But, you know, we want everything. We want real money to go to real people who have real needs.
Yep.
And so we see that happen. And we're very careful about that. We like to turn it around. And also people give gifts in kind. Like right now we're collecting hygiene products because we do Bags of Hope. We take a Ziploc bag. We fill it with hygiene products, clean socks, deodorants, those kind of things. And we have those things ready. Drew, you mentioned earlier about when we encounter somebody on the street who's looking for something. And if you've driven around Baltimore County or Baltimore City, you'll see people standing on the corners, coming up to the cars, those kind of things. And it might be an opportunity. I personally don't give money to those for personal reasons. But we have some of these Bags of Hope in the car, and we can give them a Bag of Hope. let them know. We write personal notes and we put them in there. And that way they're able to have, they know somebody cares about them. They see it. They get something that's very usable, tangible. But that's what we do all the time. And we get gifts and kinds, and I drive my team crazy because if somebody gives us something to give away and I see it sitting there more for 2 or 3 days, I'm like, why haven't we got this out? We got to get it out, you know, because we don't want stuff sitting around. There's opportunity and needs all around us to help people elevate out of the gratitude of their heart of what's going on.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing you brought up that I've tried to tap into is bringing my kids along to serve because, you know, so many of us, live in the county or we live in some other area. As Drew was saying earlier, we are blessed just by the fact we were born in this country, and so we don't recognize the other things that people have gone through and dealt with. So bringing my kids along into these activities has really been helpful to open their eyes and to get a heart for service.
Yeah, it sure is. I think I can say this, having two teenage boys and one who's in his early 20s, raising our boys in this culture and in this world is very easy for them to get, our boys and girls, it's very easy for them to get what we might call siloed or focused, whether that's on screens or just what they're doing as kids. And sometimes we kind of wait, well, they'll get to other things when they're adults. My oldest son, Josh, since he was 6, all my other sons were born into it, of just being able to, yes, to give, but what's impactful is that they see what's going on in the rest of the world that maybe that wouldn't be a normal part. So when you're driving down the road and somebody is panhandling at the side of the road, you know, instead of them kind of looking and seeing it as a nuisance, they have compassion or empathy towards that person because they understand that person doesn't really want to be there necessarily. You know, but they're in a place where they're not as blessed as we are. They don't have a car or they don't have a job or food at that moment. And it has helped my sons to value. I'm grateful because when I was in third grade, my dad took me to a men's homeless shelter in Cleveland, Ohio, and we planted a garden with some of the men. It was a drop-in shelter. They didn't necessarily live there, but we planted a garden and back then, we called it a community garden because the whole community could come and eat from it. So there were people that were homeless, but they would come together on these old benches in this garden, vegetable garden, and they would eat. And it was also a good way of getting healthy things into them. They didn't realize it.
So how do people donate to Somebody Cares?
Yeah, well, Somebody Cares Baltimore. You can go to somebodycaresbaltimore.org, and there's a big donate button right there on the right-hand side when you pull the screen up. And also, if you're on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/somebodycaresbaltimore. And again, there's a donate page. As soon as that comes up on your mobile device or your computer, you can click on there. It'll walk you through.
When's your next event?
So our next event coming up is December. It's actually a weekend. It's December 16th, which is a Saturday. Pardon me. And it's December 17th. And so what that is, every year we do, I think I mentioned it earlier, we do a Code Blue holiday party, and we go in and we help with the service. We sing songs, Christmas songs. We have volunteers. We need like 40 volunteers on Saturday and another 40 volunteers on Sunday. And then we feed people meals. Mercy Chefs come up, creates these big, great holiday dinners, and we just share the love through a meal. And it's a very, very powerful time that comes together. We've seen people that have been there maybe 2 or 3 years as homeless folks who've come in that now are in a different place, and they seek us out. They'll run down if they see me on the street, or they'll, hey, you know, Pastor Matt, hey, listen, this is who I am, and I was sitting in that place, and you guys stuck with me, and, you know, I find out somebody does care, you know. And it's interesting because we have the T-shirt, Somebody Cares, and that's our theme. We have days when I can
answer. Do you have many of the athletes from the Baltimore teams come and participate with Somebody Cares?
We do, particularly when we work with the police department. Some of the Orioles have come. Some of the Ravens have come. We've had a partnership in the past with Ray Lewis, number 52, and some of the guys that when they're looking for ways, they all have foundations and organizations of their own, but those who are partner-minded will come
well,
with
you,
us, and
you
the
connect
kids,
these
the kids
groups will. Anyway, that's so it. That's what you're all about.
Yeah,
you know?
Somebody Cares, we connect, we mobilize, and we unify. Those are the three big words to remember.
Well, I bless your organization Matt. I really appreciate you being here and helping to communicate that message. It's all about, Thomas, it's Thanksgiving
that's
and
right.
Relationships. And when you let somebody know that you care, it changes lives. It changes your life more than any. You may think you're doing wonderful things for somebody else,
right.
But when you care about somebody else, it changes your life. That's
exactly.
The way I've always found it.
I agree.
And
very
so
totally.
that's the key, and that's why Thanksgiving and this holiday season, we just are preaching the message. That's
right.
The message we're preaching. I'm going to call it preaching because I'm preaching the message of being grateful and humbled by what you have and knowing that, yes, your hard work had something to do with it, but divine intervention
right.
has more to do with it than
yeah.
anything. Matt, I'm out of time. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well.
And this song is says it all.
Yes,
shower
it
the people you love with love this Thanksgiving and over this holiday season, because that's what we really all want. You can have all the money you want, but you don't have love. You're a pretty poor person.
That's right.
Anyway, it's Drew Tignanelli saying happy Thanksgiving and God bless.